Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Visible by Numbers. This is Allison. I'm very happy that you joined us on beautiful BBS Radio this evening. I hope you all are doing well. I gotta tell you, it's pretty darn frigid here in Pennsylvania today. In fact, it's so cold, my dogs absolutely refuse to go out. So if any of you are listening from Florida, you know, please send some sunshine this way because, gosh, this is cold here. I gotta tell y'all that I also had a really fantastic weekend. I did a numerology seminar in Doylestown this weekend for Susan Duvall Seminars, and I really met some lovely people, and some of them said they'd be listening tonight, so I'd like to welcome them to the show. I also had the opportunity this weekend to go to a seminar featuring Michelle White Dove as the speaker. Many of you regular listeners know her from her guest appearances on the show, and also from America's Psychic Challenge. And I got to tell you, she's pretty amazing in person. So if you get a chance to go see her, please do. She has really this tremendous stage presence, and really all the things that she said was really truly inspirational. So all in all, I had a great weekend. Okay, so much for the chit-chat. I've got it out of the way, and I very much would like to tell you a little bit about my guest this evening. My guest is David Oakford, who had a near-death experience at the age of 19 from an overdose of drugs, and that was back in 1979. He pretty much kept his experience to himself for over 30 years until finally he began to share his story with the world. He is the author of the book Journey Through the World of Spirit, God, Gaia, and Guardian Angels. Now, as I was reading the book, in Chapter 1, at the very beginning of the book, I guess you could almost say he had me at hello, because he wrote this, and I'm quoting, "Before I go forward, I want this point to be made crystal clear to my readers, critics, or believers. I am not a religious person, nor am I psychic, a guru, a therapist, or anything other than a husband and father to four children." And he goes on to say, "My college degree is in accounting, and I live a life that probably isn't all that much different from your own. In plain terms, I still have to deal with the day-to-day grind to make car and house payments. I still toil to keep the lights on and put food on the table. More so, I don't have a self-help regimen for you to follow, or a class to teach, or a seminar to give. But I do offer, for what it is worth, a book full of wisdom that I have discovered on my journey through the world of spirit." And I got to tell you what a book it is. And I have to say that I was impressed. I was impressed right there when I read that at the very beginning of the book by this remarkable humbleness of this man, the lack of the ego, also his complete honesty. He got across in those paragraphs that he was just an ordinary person, just like all of us, who just happened to have an extraordinary experience, and he was okay with that. In many ways, I sense in him that this makes him an extraordinary person, to be that humble, to be that honest, to have such a check on his ego. And so, with that being said, I'd like to welcome David Oakford to the show. Hi there, David.
Hello, Allison.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Very well. I have to say, David, I really, from start to finish, absolutely enjoyed your book on so many levels. It just validated so much, probably things that I already knew, a lot of spiritual philosophy. It was really well written, and I absolutely enjoyed it start to finish. And, you know, I normally don't talk too much about near-death experiences here on Visible by Numbers. You know that we're a numerology show, but we bring in guests, and certainly we do explore all different avenues of spiritual philosophy. And your story, and, you know, I did your numerology, you know, just to kind of take a look at your numbers and see what was going on there. And I got to tell you that a lot of whatnot in your life really is corresponding here with your numbers. In the book, and of course, your experience, you had this near death at age 19, correct?
Yes.
Right. And when we were talking about the numerology when I was doing your chart, that year I specifically told you would be one of the years that I would highlight as being difficult circumstances coming in for a person or a soul lesson coming in, exactly at the age 19. And do you remember what letters I told you were your transits at that time in your life?
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't remember.
Ah, hard to believe you don't remember the pearly words of wisdom. The transits at that time, which I thought was just, I'm sure coincidence, but it was, they actually were your physical.
I know, die.
Yes, exactly. D, I, and E were your transits at that exact moment in time. So that was pretty interesting. And I also, some of the other things that I just want to correlate really quick here with the numerology is you make quite a, how would I put this, a point of saying, you know, that you were told that you were a master, that was part of your near-death experience, and you almost took a little exception to being called that. You couldn't imagine on any level that you were a master, but upon doing your numerology, having the experience that I have, certainly you have master numbers in your chart, and really the purpose of why your sole purpose, from what I can see from your chart, is that you are a messenger, that on some level you come, and through your experiences, you become enlightened, or through your experiences, you define what your truth is. And once that happens, then you share that message with the world, and on some level, you enlighten humanity. And that is the exact description of what your expression number is, and this book embodies that message, if you ask me. So, you know, I'm very happy to be able to validate that in your numerology chart.
Yes, I am too.
Yeah. Well, in a way, it just kind of helps to validate to a certain extent, I would hope, that your experience. And also and I'm going to just get through this numerology really quick, I promise, and I'm going to have a million questions for you. But even the very fact that you had that you actually died from that this whole near death was caused by a drug overdose, your first challenge in life was a 5. And 5 has to do with the physical body, and some of the things that can happen when you're challenged to a 5 is limitation and moderation and having temperance, especially having to do with the physical body, and quite often a 5 challenge can mean having a problem with drugs. And this particular challenge was in play at that time of your life. So, and also you were in an 11 pentacle, which it kind of defines the energy of that time of your life. And usually by the time you're done with an 11 pentacle, you've been enlightened in some fashion. You've learned your truth. This is where, you define all that you get the wisdom and you get the knowledge and you connect. And so it all makes complete and total sense when someone's looking at your numerology chart. But let's talk to you. Would you like to explain to our listeners just exactly what caused this near death?
Okay, what happened was I knew that I had to do something about my problems with drugs and the problems with my life. And I had an idea that I was going to leave town, but I wanted to go to one last party with my friends before I left town. And a friend of mine bought me this stuff. It was, I didn't know for sure what it was when I did it. And I used it incorrectly. What I did was I crushed it up and snorted it instead of smoked it. And I overdosed.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself out of my body after a little while. And I was really scared. And I asked what I need to be God to for some help. And a spirit being came to me, which I call Bob. He had a spirit name, but I could not pronounce it, therefore I can't remember it. And Bob took me around the planet, and he showed me things of a metaphysical nature. We went to Egypt, and we basically astral traveled to Egypt, and I saw the area and it was from olden times, and it was from current times. And
mm-hmm.
I could see the souls making choices in the past and setting up their choices for the future, and I saw my own life there.
What were you doing in Egypt, if you don't mind my asking?
I believe I was in religion, some sort of religion.
Oh, okay. All right. So you saw you saw almost simultaneously the past and the current?
Yes.
Egypt? And from that, you got the impression that the choices that you made in the past do affect the current, what is happening currently. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Can I take you back just a moment to Bob, okay? Which I'm sure that people find that rather amusing that you can't really pronounce what this name is or remember, but you named him Bob because that was easy for you. But I want you to talk for a minute, if you don't mind. What did Bob look like, and how did he communicate to you?
Okay. Well, Bob looked male, and he looked female. It all depended on what I was thinking at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He had long, curly hair. He was wearing a gown, some sort of a cream color gown.
Mm-hmm.
And he changed his shape. He changed, he wasn't looking the same all the time. He,
mm-hmm.
he changed, he shape-shifted, basically, mm-hmm. is what he did.
And he,
whatever form that I could understand him in, I guess.
Uh-huh. And he communicated to you by his thoughts rather than moving his mouth.
Yes.
That's what you said in the book, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And, you know, that was, to me, more than... Even little children say that if they've seen an angel. I've actually talked to children that discuss having seen an angel, and the angel doesn't speak, doesn't move its mouth, that it comes in the form of thoughts. So, you know, that kind of validates a lot of other people's experiences with angels. Bob also said that you were a master at that time, did he not?
Yes, he did.
And you thought what?
I thought that there was no possible way. I thought that he got the wrong guy.
He had the wrong guy.
Because of the life that I led.
Sure, sure. Now, what did he tell you? Because I thought that this was rather interesting. He told you that you, who you were, right? He said you
yes,
were the first
he,
of your
he
kind.
He had a name for me.
He had a name for you, but he also told you you were the first of your kind on this planet and you had a purpose. Isn't that true?
Yes.
What was that purpose?
Yes. I believe, I'm really not sure, but I believe it has something to do with my DNA
mm-hmm.
and my soul memories that's in my DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And I was set up so that I could bring others into the world that would have the same type of path that I would have.
So in other words, he more or less said that you, through your procreation, making of your children, that you would bring into this earth souls. Would that be a fair understanding of what he said to you?
Yes.
Okay. So with that knowledge there, I just got to ask you, okay, so now you're a dad of four, and you've got four kids. What's your perception of your children? How do you look at them different? Like, what's going on with your DNA? Do you look at them for any special signs or anything like that?
Not really. I have one son who's my oldest son is autistic,
mm-hmm.
so he's a little different, really, than all the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have a daughter who used to see auras. I'm not sure if she still does. She's kind of shy about it.
Well,
but
yeah.
Other than that, really, nothing really outstanding about them that I know about right now.
Right. Well, sometimes they say autistic children are actually, you know, what is the underlying issue is their extreme sensitivity, perhaps their, you know, being between two worlds or the spirit connection of some sort. Sometimes there is a spiritual connection to actual autism. I was just wondering because I think if I came back from a near-death experience, I think I had children later on, I think I'd be looking at my children a little funny at that point. But he also, you know, your purpose for you and for the souls that you bring in was what exactly? What was the purpose?
The planet needs some help.
Mm-hmm.
The planet has a problem with its vibration
mm-hmm.
and with how we've been treating it.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that one of the main purposes for my it's so far as the energy goes
mm-hmm.
with the planet.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do great things.
Good. Well, that's nice to know, isn't it, Dad?
I'm sorry?
That's nice to know, isn't it, that your kids will be doing great things?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And I believe they will. They're being set up for that right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. That's wonderful. Okay, so I'm sorry for backtracking you to Bob, but it's just so cute. I love the name he gave him. And, of course, you know, and I kind of liked, you know, that aspect of what he told you. So we can go on. You asked Bob, well, at that point you said, he told you you could go anywhere in the universe, and you picked the pyramids, and that's where you saw the past and the future and understood that our choices, what the choices that have been made in the past actually create what goes on in the future. So upon leaving the pyramids, you continue to travel, and this is where you're getting a lot of this information about the planet itself and the trouble that it's in. And you began to see the energy of the planet. Can you describe what you saw?
Well, what I saw was kind of like a haze. It was like, how to describe it? It was a color.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it was really strong.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it wasn't very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a level that was different in different places.
Right.
The strong parts were the countries of the world that were more spiritual at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the weak ones were where our actions as humans, like say if we deforested someplace, the energy in that area wouldn't be as intense, or it would be different. It would be out
weak.
Of control.
Would you call it weak? Weak energy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it would weaken. It will weaken from the choices that we make.
Ah. So I know that you mentioned what the energy of the oceans were. Can you describe that?
When I looked at the oceans, I could see deep into them.
Mm-hmm.
And there were places where the energy was coming out of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking they were most likely volcanoes
mm-hmm.
that are under there. And
mm-hmm.
I was told that those were where the energies of the planet are more natural and not altered yet.
And so it would give the impression that the oceans contain a great deal of energy. Would you say that?
Yes, yes.
Right. That makes a lot of sense to me because, you know, they say that water is a conduit for energy, for spiritual energy as well. And also, you know, one of the things that I've known for a long time is that sea salt helps to cleanse the auric field. And oftentimes just, you know, taking a dip in the ocean can actually refresh you beyond anything that can be explained, really. And I always get tremendously energized whenever I'm around the ocean. And so it does make sense that if the ocean itself is higher energy, you know, from what you saw, you know, that makes complete and total sense, and it's also what other, you know, let's call them spiritual gurus or whatever, tell us. So I thought that was interesting. And you also looked at the energy of cities, right?
Yes.
And what did you see from that?
I saw that because of the way that we treated nature in the cities, how we basically did a lot of paving over with the asphalt and the buildings, and we got rid of a lot of the natural energies from the trees and whatnot that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And that made the energy of the cities different. It made it so that they were more along the what I'll call artificial.
Mm-hmm.
There were more from the buildings and the minerals and whatnot that makes up those buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And I also saw where the energies of the people
mm-hmm.
weren't as strong because they weren't loving one another as much as they should want.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw, I did see some energies that were very strong from people that were in the cities, and some of them were like Bob, and some of them were like me. And
they're spiritual beings, you mean?
I'm sorry?
Spiritual beings?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
They're spiritual beings like Bob and like I was
mm-hmm.
at the time. And they were working together. And basically, the summit of the energy of the humans mm-hmm. in the cities determine what the energies of the cities would be.
Oh, I see. Do you think on some level, and I'm just interjecting this, but if you take nature and you more or less pave it over, and of course, you know, in some cities, there's, you know, they have Central Park, you know, that's the only nature, you know, not that many trees, not that many gardens. Certainly that would take away from animals as well. Do you think that on, to a certain level, it's because there's not enough of natural nature in that area to actually decrease the energy? Or would you actually say that it's the energy of the people themselves because, you know, it's not a loving place? How would you, what would be the difference?
It would mostly be the people.
Mm-hmm.
But some of it was pollution, too.
Oh, pollution, yeah.
A lot of it was pollution.
Sure.
Like
and you said.
I saw my town, Detroit.
Right. You saw Detroit. What did Detroit look like?
It was, it had like a silver type mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. energy. It was kind of blurry.
Yeah.
And it arced. It was really interesting. I could see.
It was interesting, huh?
I could see it arc.
Yeah. Well, I'm living in Pennsylvania. Did you see anything there?
Not that I remember.
I'm just joking with you.
The cities I saw were the ones in the West.
Okay, I'm just kidding.
And then New York and Detroit.
Okay, I wanted to get some heads up here. So you also saw the energy of the United States, okay? And what was your impression of just the United States?
Well, it was, the energy could have been a lot better than it was.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of decisions that we made that put the whammy on the energy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, deforesting and in the plains, the energy of the plains wasn't really
mm-hmm.
all that good either.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And
well, compared to the other countries,
what we've done.
Yeah, compared to the other countries. So you got the United States. Let's say you can look South America, Africa, Asia. Compared to the other countries in on the planet, how did the United States fare?
It seemed like it was. Out of control.
Very out of strong, control.
Out of control.
Hmm. Hmm. So, and this is attributed to our vibration.
Yes, to the vibrations
okay.
that we make from the decisions that we make.
Decisions. And so did Bob tell you how to restore the United States to a place, you know, to wellness or the planet to wellness?
Well, no. But I was told later in the experience that everything that will help is will come through loving one another and loving the planet.
So unconditional love.
Yes.
And forgiveness and lack of, you know, no judgment and just loving one another
is
the cure.
Like if you're loving the planet, you're not going to make decisions that are going to say deforest anywhere or pollute anywhere.
Oh, I see.
That kind of thing.
Okay, so it's not necessarily unconditional love towards each other; it's towards the planet.
It's both.
Both. Okay.
It's both.
All right. And he did, you know, at this time, okay, when you're examining, I want to get back to the spirit people because you mentioned these spirit people, like Bob and you that were on the planet. What was their purpose?
Well, the ones that were like Bob were doing work like Bob was doing with me.
Uh-huh.
Helping them out. And there were other ones that were working with people who do spiritual type of work
mm-hmm.
in the cities, like people who use their guides.
So these are humans?
And work with them.
Are they human?
No.
No?
No. I don't think so.
No, you don't think so?
Or maybe they were human at one time, but not human now. The ones that were doing the helping.
Right. Did you perchance, you know there's certain places in America that are considered to be vortex areas or very strong energy areas, such as Sedona, Arizona. Did you perchance, you know, look at that and get a perception of that?
I was told about the places.
Uh-huh.
And I was told that they were there.
Uh-huh.
And I did see some of them, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Well, that sounds interesting, but you're not done, right? Because you got quite a ways to go still in your
right.
journey. All right, so you've seen the planet and you've seen the energies. Did you see negative energies as well?
Yes.
Like, you use the word dark souls. Can you explain what they are?
Yes. The dark souls were entities who continually make choices that are on the negative side,
mm-hmm.
and add to the negative vibration of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were lost. They don't know that they're dead, and they hang around, and some of them don't know what to do, and they just basically hang around.
Mm-hmm.
Other ones know about the light,
uh-huh.
that they could go to,
yeah.
but they make a choice not to go to the light so mm-hmm. that they could stick around and make trouble for other people.
Wow.
And that sort of thing. They basically had negative energies. Their energies, their colors were like muddy,
mm-hmm.
not sharp,
mm-hmm.
not strong.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them were strong. There was the more negative ones.
Right.
I was told that the negative, the dark souls,
mm-hmm.
weren't something that I was a part of.
Mm-hmm.
What I would do with the dark souls was ascertain their intent,
mm-hmm.
on what they would tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they said something that was detrimental to anyone else,
mm-hmm.
or good for only them and not good for everyone else,
mm-hmm.
that I would need to take that into account when I interact with them.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing that you wrote there, and I guess I'm going to kind of take this in a quote, is Bob told you that negative energy was originally meant to be a tool to enhance the evolution of souls, but over time it was abused and misused by the free will. Do you have a grip or an understanding of what he was trying to convey to you there in those words?
Okay. The way that I understood that is that there's positive and there's negative energies.
Mm-hmm.
And you really need both of them for
mm-hmm.
everything to be whole.
Mm-hmm.
And what the negative energies were to make it so that you could learn positive lessons.
Sure. Sure. Well, you know, that makes complete and total sense to me, being a numerologist and looking at people's charts. And, you know, it's very obvious to me that when you understand the energy of the numbers and you see how they're configured within a chart, numbers interact, energy interacts. And sometimes people are actually predisposed. Sometimes they have negative characteristics. I mean, as if it's almost like part of their soul lesson or their soul journey is to perhaps overcome that, such as in your case, where early on in life you were actually predisposed to perhaps, you know, being addicted or abusing drugs. That was part of your experience, maybe on some level, to create this near-death experience from which you would eventually become the messenger and eventually share it with all of us. And I see this very often in charts, negative energy actually being placed in a chart, and I believe it's part of the soul lesson, so that made a lot of sense to me. But you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to be quiet right here because I do believe that I heard a beep. And so if you don't mind, let's see. Somebody's calling in. Who's calling, please?
This is Sue Adams.
Hi, Sue. How are you?
Fine.
Do you
Listen,
have
Allison.
A comment or a question?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a comment, a question, or something?
Kind of have a question.
Sure.
Well, I'm not sure you'd call it a question, but... In the past, I lost an individual that was extremely close to me.
Mm-hmm.
His name was John Joseph Foot. And I wonder if there's any way we could connect.
To John Joseph tonight?
I'm sorry? I can't hear you because I've got the station on.
Oh, well, you might want to walk away from the actual computer so you're not going to get the feedback.
Okay.
And David is not a medium, Sue. David
okay.
has had a near-death experience, and
yes,
he
I
has
really
just
like
written
that.
A book that kind of conveys that experience, and he really doesn't do mediumship. However, we do have them on our show, and probably if you write down February 4th and call in on that night, I've got a really terrific medium on that could probably answer that question for you.
Okay. February 4th.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. But I think that David can assure you that the world of spirit and heaven is a wonderful place where John has gone. David, do you want to just kind of like share with her what that felt like when you were in the spirit world, how wonderful that was?
Well, I had no worries. I had everything was feeling just right. Everything was positive, and I knew that I had a purpose, and I knew that the world of spirit is very big, and there's lots and lots of souls in it. That's what it's for. And I do believe that you can contact the other souls. You know, I don't make it a point of that, but other people do it.
Right. But you're not afraid of death. If you were to die tomorrow, you would not be afraid of it now that you've been through that experience, because you know that crossing over to the other side and being in the world of spirit is that's where home is. It's a tremendously beautiful experience, right, David?
Yes.
Right. So I don't know if that's reassuring to you, Sue, but he's been to the other side and he's back to tell the story. So that's, but he doesn't do mediumship. Okay.
Okie dokie.
So call us on February 4th. We have Lisa Williams on that night, and I'm pretty darn sure she can answer that question for you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're
I'll try
welcome.
That.
All right.
Bye bye.
Bye. Okay. All right. So we're. I'm gonna guess where we were. Okay. Another thing that you wrote in the book that really I thought was interesting was Bob told you that humans were never meant to die.
Yeah.
What did
that put me out too when he told me that?
Yeah. Tell me about that.
He said that humans were designed to live forever and to live on the planet. This was supposed to be a place where we would play and learn and grow.
Uh-huh.
And basically, it's the way that I understood it. It's supposed to be heaven here, and it was heaven here at one time.
Right.
So we tipped the scale.
Right.
And that was some decisions, bad decisions that we would make. And it was my understanding that back in the old times, that people lived till very, very ripe old ages, but that went away when we started doing things like not eating right, not treating the planet right, and that sort of thing.
Right. So it's safe to assume they don't have a McDonald's in heaven then, right?
Right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we'll see there, though.
Okay. Well, I've got some more questions for you, but you know what I want to do is I know we got some more things to go over, because you actually had your life review, which I would like for you to talk about and tell me about Spirit City. And when you began to understand your purpose, and we certainly will get there. But just in case there's anyone listening, and they may have a question that they might want to ask you, perhaps they've had their own near-death experience, perhaps they're listening to you and it's brought up a question or two in their mind, the lines are open, and we do welcome you. We welcome your questions and your comments, and you're more than welcome to call us. We have toll-free numbers, USA 877-876-5227. You can also call toll-free from Canada at 888-815-9756. And you can call the station direct at 530-876-3222. My guest this evening is David Oakford, and he's written a book that's called Journey Through the World of Spirit. Excuse me there. I lost my way. Journey Through the World of Spirit. And it's really a wonderful book that describes his near-death experience, and we've been discussing that this evening. So if you want to call in and ask a question, hey, the lines are open. Now, this might be a really good point, too, David. Please tell our listeners, if they are interested in getting a copy of your book, how they might do that.
Okay. Journey Through the World of Spirit is available at pretty much any of the online bookstores. Amazon has it, and it's available all over the world. And Barnes & Noble has it. eBay has it. I sell them from my website, journeythroughtheworldofspirit.com.
Mm-hmm.
My publisher sells them. My publisher, Reality Prof, They sell them. It's available all over. The only place it's not available is in the bookstore.
All right. Well, then, and I really do, recommend, if you've lost a loved one even, or if you've had a near-death experience, because, you know, quite like you, David, you really were not wanting to go anywhere near this experience after you returned. And I think this is really a wonderful book to help someone to understand their near-death experience, or perhaps someone who's lost a loved one. This can give them a great deal of comfort in knowing how beautiful it is on the other side. And we do have another caller, so who's calling, please?
Hi, Allison. It's Molly.
Hi, Molly. How are you?
Great. I have a question.
All right. Go for it.
I would like to know if he knows the location of the spirit world. Is it actually a physical place in the spirit world, and if he had any idea of its exact location?
Good question.
Yes, yes. And the way that I understand it, its location is in with the world that we have. It is in the what we see as empty spaces. It runs concurrent with ours here on this planet. It does.
Okay, so it's like another dimension that vibrates at a different energy frequency, so
yes,
therefore it has its
frequency.
Own solidity to it?
Yes, yes. And the higher the vibration frequency that you attain, the more it is of this world of spirit that you can see.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome, Molly.
Great show, Allison. Thank you.
Thanks, Molly. Thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
That was a really good question. That was
yep.
a good question. All right, well, let's move on here, okay? You actually met Jesus, right?
Yes, I met the entity that I believe to be Jesus.
Mm-hmm. What was that like for you?
Well, I really didn't see him for all that long.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first saw him, he looked like the picture that I saw in this parochial school that I went to for 7th and 8th grades.
Mm-hmm.
But then he, like Bob, changed, and he shape-shifted too, and he eventually shape-shifted into just his light.
Mm-hmm.
And his was a very bright, clean, white light.
Mm-hmm.
And he took me into him is the best way that I could describe it.
Mm-hmm.
And all he told me was that if everyone loves one another, all will be well. Because I was concerned. He knew that I was concerned about the planet
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and the universe itself after everything that I saw.
Now, do you think you saw the future, or you saw what the probabilities would be of what may or may not happen on this planet if we don't come to a place of a higher vibration of more unconditional love and start loving the planet? Do you think you saw things?
I don't think that I saw things, but I was told that things are going to get bad before they get better.
Bad? And do you
yeah.
know how bad? Like, what is going to get bad?
Well, the weather on the planet and how the planet adjusts itself to the energies that we've been dealing with it.
Uh-huh.
Dealing to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to cause problems with how we live and
mm-hmm.
everything. It's basically what I believe a lot of it was due to global warming and pollution and all
mm-hmm.
that.
Sure. So in nature is kind of like rebelling a little bit about her treatment, I would think.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And
okay.
it's going to unless we change.
And we'll suffer the consequences unless we start respecting this planet.
Absolutely.
And stopping pollution. You know, it's interesting. I mean, and I know I'm bringing up another author, but Conversations with God by Neil Walsh said that, you know, this was very important to spiritually enlightened societies, nobody can make a dollar, not $1, and make any money whatsoever if what it is they do contributes to any pollution upon the planet or harms another human being or animal. And that's the way it is in highly enlightened societies. And I do believe that, you know, with all the pollution and all the businesses where money is the god and is the goal, and it doesn't matter how they get the money or who they hurt along the way, and that we have to change that. Would you say that that's kind of what you know, the idea of it is that we've got to treat the planet better, and we can't harm the planet anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
That's the way I kind of took it when I read your book. Now, you did have, at some point in your near-death experience, a more or less a self-evaluation where I guess you reviewed your life. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. What I was shown was my life from an emotional standpoint,
mm-hmm.
and it was also from an observer standpoint
mm-hmm.
and actually having the experience.
Mm-hmm.
I saw myself go to my mother. I saw myself pick my mother and my father,
mm-hmm.
and then I went on a ray of light to my mother's womb,
mm-hmm.
and I remember that I was in the womb, and I remember when I came out, and mm-hmm. that's how I started to see my life. I saw, like, the nurses were happy, you know, go lucky, good to, glad to see me, and that's basically how I started,
mm-hmm.
but it evolved into when I would have a strong emotion,
mm-hmm.
like when I would do something, like if I did something bad,
mm-hmm.
I would feel that. Like say if I screwed someone over, which
mm-hmm.
I did in my life, I would feel their feelings.
Sure.
Those feelings would be amplified.
Right.
And the same tack went through for the good feelings, too, that I created.
Right. So in the long run, it wasn't so much about anybody judging you, but you were kind of able to see your life in a certain perspective and understand perhaps how you affected other people and how your decisions and your actions caused other people to feel. Would that be?
And also it was, I just forgot what I was going to say.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I interrupted. I apologize.
It was also all the good things.
Uh-huh. All the good things you did. So you got to see how you made people feel good?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. And did you eventually, I mean, it said in the book that you began to understand your purpose. What do you understand your purpose to be now? Because you actually were shown that you chose to do these things and this kind of was your contract or what you were supposed to do in this lifetime, and you began to understand what your purpose was. What is your purpose? What do you understand it to be now?
The way that I understand it now is to share what it is that I know
mm-hmm.
and what happened to me, and hope that the people who I'm sharing with will make better, more positive decisions.
Right. And that's in your own words. And so I refer everyone back to what I said at the beginning of the show about the meaning of your expression number as being the messenger, which is through your life experiences to define your truth and to be enlightened. And from that experience, you set about to enlighten humanity, and you just said it in your own words. And I find that very validating for numerology. I really do. And I'm very proud of you because it always, as a numerologist and hearing your story and knowing what you've been through and where you've been and what you've done, I mean, I'm very proud of you, quite frankly.
Thank you.
I am. I'm very proud of you. You also, you know, another question here. This part about, you know, choosing your parents even, you know, that's numerology. I mean, all souls pick their parents. They pick that experience, the environment. They choose what it is that they're coming in to do, all of those things. And reincarnation, that we come in many lifetimes. Do you believe in reincarnation?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did they ever tell you how many lives you lived?
No.
No? You think a couple, right?
Yeah, at least we really didn't get into it.
Yeah.
Well, when I was on I sat on this bench waiting to get my life review,
uh-huh.
and I started remembering past lives when I was on that bench. But
sure.
I couldn't really put them all together because
sure.
I had to go inside.
Right, right.
Oh, I do know of the one life in Egypt, mm-hmm. and I do know that there are certainly many more.
Right. And you said in the one in Egypt that you were actually religious or involved in religion in some way. So that's very interesting. Now, it got to a point after your review that you more or less were asked to be returned to Earth to complete your mission. Is that how it went?
Well, I After I was done seeing everything, they asked me if I thought that I was created more positive or more negative energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to tell them that I created the negative energy.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, it might be a good idea for you to go back.
Oh, darn. Did you want to go back?
No.
No. Why not?
No. No. No, I felt so right there. I was so far away from everything that
right.
I was running from in my life.
Uh-huh.
I really wanted to stay there, but I had to make the decision on whether I wanted to. I mean, they gave me a choice,
mm-hmm.
but there were caveats to it.
Mm-hmm.
There was it's like, yeah, you can get a choice, but what kind of choice is that? I mean, I had to think about things like the other souls that I was supposed to affect.
Uh-huh.
And how my staying there would affect them.
Sure.
And I was also told that no matter what I chose, that I would need to learn all those lessons and do the teaching that I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Either in the world of spirit, in the spirit city where I was, or as a human.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that I understood it, doing those things as a human is, it works faster and it works better. And if I stayed, I would only be putting off the inevitable.
Right, right. Well, listen, I did get an email, and I did want to kind of get this in because we only got about 5 minutes left on the show. So I got an email from a person named Julia, and she heard you on Zany Mystic. So she had a question, and so I thought I'd ask this to you and see what you think. And it said, when we are preparing for this life, is it our higher self that is doing the preparing, or are we an aspect of our higher self that will be coming in? Is the higher self even involved in the planning, and does the higher self guide us in the experience once we're here? Do you have any comments to that question?
Basically, yes. The way that I understand it is, you basically are your higher self when you lose the body.
Yeah.
And so far as the planning goes, I believe that you have astrology to work with.
Mm-hmm.
You have numerology to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And there's basically a knowing about those.
Mm-hmm.
And you use those aspects to mm-hmm. help plan your incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with my life review. I can see everything from all of the different viewpoints,
mm-hmm.
and I can feel everything from all the viewpoints. And I don't think that I would have been able to do that if mm-hmm. I wasn't my higher self. There are a lot of people who have read my experience to say that Bob was my higher self, but I'm not too sure about that.
Right. Well, I think it's what sounds right and what you resonate with is really what is important, I think. And for me, when I look at a numerology chart, I mean, I really believe it is the soul journey in this lifetime. I believe that our experiences and what we contracted to do and our purpose is written there. And although I don't know as if you could study numerology for eons, and I don't know as if you would get 100% of what is written there, but certainly with a certain amount of knowledge and intuition, I think you can get a good part of it. And it's always amazing to me when I do numerology, how much people do resonate to the actual chart, to the information, and how it can actually describe the experiences of their life. And I think the really important thing to say there is that, you know, so often we look at things in our life that we feel that we failed at, or on some level we feel as though we didn't make the correct decisions, the right choices. But, you know, it's all part of the experience. It's all part of what teaches us. It's all part of what raises our consciousness. It's all part of, you know, in order to resolve the problem, you have to have a problem in the first place, and then through working through it, it makes you a better person, and that really is the goal in life. And so numerology, to me, is just an amazing tool to help us to understand our life purpose and what it is that we're here for. I mean, I think it's a little bit easier tool than a near-death experience. I think I'll, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a little bit easier, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not something I want to do again.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't want you to do it again either. So anyhow, now you're back. And, of course, it took you 30 years to finally, you know, get to a place where you could share your story. And if I was to ask you, you know, tell me in about 30 seconds or less what your reason was really for writing this book.
Okay, the reason I wrote the book was because I met people. I finally got to the internet in 1996, and I met people
mm-hmm.
in the AOL Metaphysics chat room that
mm-hmm.
were talking about these sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I started talking with them about my experience, and someone asked me to write 2,000 words for them, so I did that, and
mm-hmm.
that got sent to the Near Death Experiences and Afterlife website, and I got a whole ton of emails from people
Good.
Wanting more and wanting the whole thing, so
mm-hmm.
that's why I wrote the book. Basically, I did it because there a demand was expressed to me for that.
Right. Well, you do have a gift for words written into your chart. You have an ability to express yourself and to put it into words. So I'm glad that you made very good use out of it, David. So once again, really quick, if anyone is interested in getting a hold of this really wonderful book, and I do recommend it. I recommend it on so many different levels for so many different reasons. The name of the book is Journey Through the World of Spirit, God, Gaia, and Guardian Angels by David Oakford. It can be purchased on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, you said eBay, RealityPress.com, your website. Your website is right there on Visible by Numbers in the show info page. People can get that information there. David, I really enjoyed this discussion with you. I enjoyed you. I'm so glad that you took the time to share it with us, and I really appreciate everyone that called in as well. So, David, you'll come back, or, you know, if you write another book, let me know.
Okay, I certainly will.
Well, thank you so much for being here, and thank you, everyone out there, for listening. Really appreciate your support, your nice emails. People email me all the time. I appreciate that. And we'll be back again next week. And be sure to write down February 4th on your calendars, because Lisa Williams will be with us on Visible by Numbers. Good night, David. Have a great night. Good night, everybody out there.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.